My guests, Mike Werb and Michael Colleary, wrote the new film Face Off. They wrote their first draft back in 1990. Werb also wrote the Jim Carrey hit The Mask. Colleary has written screenplays for Roger Corman. Face Off revolves around an identity swap in which the good guy and the bad guy swap faces through state-of-the-art plastic surgery. The identity swap leads to some wonderfully entertaining acting from John Travolta and Nicolas Cage, but it is a pretty improbable premise for which the writers had to come up with a medical explanation. Well, here's the doctors describing the procedure to a skeptical FBI agent played by Travolta.
This is a state-of-the-art morphogenetic template. The inside is modeled on your skull. The outside exactly like Troy's. Then we fit his face on top, not a replica, but the real thing. Then we simply connect the muscles, tear ducts, and nerve endings.
So you want to take his face and mine?
Borrow. The procedure is completely reversible.
You think that I want to do this? No.
There's no one else, Sean.
No.
You have lived and breathed Castor Troy for years.
I'll get his gang to talk. That's what I do.
Well, if you can't, the bomb will blow, and Castor Troy will win.
The screenwriters told me they came up with the identity swap idea because they were interested in the good and evil aspects of man.
Michael, in particular, is a Joseph Campbell nut, and I'm kind of a mythology nut. And what greater trick could Zeus play on two men who are so obsessed with each other than to have force them to become each other? And that was kind of the initial conceit.
Now, what happens in this is that Nicolas Cage's face is surgically removed and transplanted onto... Let me say this again. No, that's
well,
right.
That's true, too.
I get so confused.
Carrie, you're having the same problem that we had describing to people. What we ended up just doing was telling people that they switch identities.
Right, but they switch faces, too, through this complicated plastic surgery, which is just absurdly improbable. I mean, there's no scars, there's no swelling, there's no black and blue marks, no nothing. How much did you have to worry about the credibility of the plot?
Well, amazingly enough, when we started writing this in 1990, it was more far-fetched than it is today. In fact, there was an article recently in some national paper about how in the next 10 or 15 years, you know, the technology will exist to pull off things like this. Now, granted, the swelling issue and the
scar issue. No pun intended with the pull off.
Yeah, exactly. that stuff sort of tests the limits of plausibility.
But one of the things that came to us when after we'd come to the plot, come up with the plot, somebody that we know had a horrible hang gliding accident, and they actually took his face off and reconstructed the underlying tendons and muscles and bones and cartilage, and then put it back on. So we took it a step further.
Now, one of the things I love about the film is watching Cage and Travolta exchanging mannerisms and personalities. It's a real acting fest. Did you realize the acting potential within the idea of the identity swap?
Well, initially we had written it for Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone. Keep in mind, this was in 1990, and of course they were sort of the biggest heavyweights around. But after the project left Warner Brothers, Michael and I really started to talk more and more about the psychological underpinnings of what the film was really about. And Paramount very much encouraged us to write that story. And the more we wrote that, we realized, you know, this is probably the only film in Hollywood history in which two actors get to play good and evil and they don't have to play twins.
How did John Woo get to direct this movie? And you had written the movie in 1990. John Woo has been in the States for a few years. This is, what, his third American movie?
Yes,
correct.
This is his third American film.
So how did he get to
but
direct
But his first Face-off? Hong Kong film here now in the States.
It was, there is actually an interesting story about John Woo's involvement in this movie. When the project was at Warner Brothers from 1991 to 1990, I guess late
Two.
92, Joel Silver was the producer, and he actually offered it to John Woo when John first came to Hollywood. Now, Mike and I had never heard of John Woo. We came a little late to the Hong Kong awareness of Hong Kong cinema. And I actually saw the trailer for The Killer, just couldn't believe what I was
actually
seeing.
Michael went back to the and paid to get into the last Revival house in LA just to see the trailer.
Yeah, the next night, because I still couldn't be sure. And so when the film came, Mike and I went to see it, and we realized that John Woo was just the perfect director for Face Off. It just had all the same, the themes and ideas that he seemed to love in his films were just by coincidence in Face Off. But of course, we had no idea he would ever
even read it,
let alone direct it. And finally, I guess in early 95, we met John. Mike Werb's agent and John's agent are the same person, the same agency, the William Morris Agency, and we were able to meet John. And we expected to meet this very kind of, you know, Sam Peckinpah-esque. We'd seen a lot of his films by then, and, you know, this John Huston, hard-drinking, gun-toting guy. And, of course, what we met was extremely polite, courteous, thoughtful man. And a real film nut and a guy who loves musicals. And he just couldn't have been less than, in reality than the person we envisioned. And he complimented us profusely on the script for Face Off. And we were just so flattered and thrilled. But, of course, he was going off to make...
Well, at that point, we walked away thinking that was absolutely the highlight of our careers.
Yeah,
exactly. Was just to meet him and spend an hour chatting with him. And it's still, he was making Broken Arrow, and we never really dreamed that he would actually do the movie.
But as it turned out, you know, we had another director on the movie, and it seemed to be going another way. And that, as often happens in Hollywood, just didn't work out. And John became available again and signed on to the film. And of course, John and John Travolta got along so famously on Broken Arrow that John Travolta was, you know, very happy and willing and wanted to work with John again, which is unusual in Hollywood. You don't tend to see the same actors working with the same directors unless it's De Niro and Scorsese and so forth. But we've just been very fortunate in those ways.
You know what I wonder? Like, when you're writing an action scene with a lot of explosions and stunts and so on, do you write, you know, like good guy chases bad guy, mayhem ensues, lots of explosions, parentheses, director, you figure it out.
No, we never do that. Even if the director does not film what we write, we always write it in an extremely detailed manner, all the beats that, and, you know, also pacing the timing as best we can. The scenes ended up being certainly a lot longer and a lot more poetic than could be written in a screenplay.
When you're writing a scene like the climax in Face Off, where there's a boat chase and boats are getting destroyed, things are getting blown up, there's a lot of stunts in the water, do you have any idea what it's going to cost when you're doing it? And when you're writing it, do you have like the cheap Roger Corman version in mind as well as the expensive, you know, the expensive version in mind too?
I'll let Michael answer that since he's worked for Roger. I've worked for Sam Arkoff, but you said Corman.
Interestingly enough, and I actually can reference Roger Corman. In this case, I did have several meetings with Roger on an action film. It was my first job many years
ago. Rescue in Lebanon.
Yeah, Rambo Goes to Lebanon was basically it. And Roger had the same answer, interestingly enough, that Stephen Reuther, who of course was executive producer of the film and partners with Michael Douglas, and they always say the same thing, which is just write it and we'll worry about, you know, making it work later and paying for it later. And they really want your imagination to, as a writer, to just cut loose and do the best you can, because if you stumble upon a gag or a stunt that is really crucial in a story point, or just for the fun of it, they will try to find a way to make it work.
I want to get back to the premise of two people exchanging faces and exchanging identities. I know, like, when I was a kid, I'd sometimes borrow a sweater from a girlfriend, and I'd feel like her. I mean, I'd feel like somewhat transformed by seeing this article of clothing that identified with her on me. So one can only guess what it would feel like to be wearing somebody else's face. Did you try to imagine what it would be like to wear somebody else's face?
Well, it's funny you ask that, because we actually spend, if there's a business call and even a personal call that I really don't want to take, but the person doesn't know my voice, Michael will take the call and act like he's me. And I've done that for him. And we spend a lot of time doing that. And I think subconsciously that generated a lot of this plot.
When we first started out, there were a lot of unscrupulous Hollywood types who would take advantage of film students and so forth.
And they're all gone, of course.
And there's none left in Hollywood. But so occasionally, you know, when we were starting out, we didn't really know how to deal with people really giving us the full court press. So we would try to help each other out that way a little bit.
When you were writing the screenplay, before you knew that it was Nicolas Cage and John Travolta who would be playing the two characters that exchange identities, did you write in little bits of business that would be associated with each of the characters so that the actors would have to pick up on those and then exchange them after the identity exchange?
Yeah, we did. From the very first draft, we realized that in order for this to work, in order for the audience to buy the conceit of this movie at all, there would have to be very distinct differences between these two characters. And one of the things that we set up, which are some of which are still in the movie and some of which are not, but Sean Archer, the FBI agent, is very emotionally distant. He does not smoke. He does not drink. He does not swear. He's a very uptight person. On the other hand, the Castor Troy character, the assassin, we made very distinctly an extremely passionate lover of life, albeit very cruelly. But this is a man we described in the screenplay as a walking hard-on. And he drinks aggressively, and he makes love aggressively, and he is in a way, an odd way, much more full of life. And when they have to switch roles, of course, the hero has to learn how to do all those things that he's completely unfamiliar with.
And we gave the reader a lot of, you know, cues with dialogue. For example, there were certain catchphrases that, you know, that Castor would use, you know, that some of, as Mike said, some made it into the film in some variations. One of Castor's lines was, I have a confession to make, but you aren't going to like it. And he used to use that right before he generally kill someone. So there were certain, we would take certain words and put them in one character's voice. And then when they switched faces, it would come out of the other actor's mouth, the same words. And
like the secretary in the FBI office. She's worked for the hero for years, and he still calls her Miss Brewster. When the bad guy returns as the FBI agent in disguise, he starts calling her Kimmy and slapping her ass and doing all sorts of sort of sexist things that the hero would never have done.
Right. Are there things that Travolta and Cage came up with that really surprised and delighted you?
Oh, almost everything. From the first time we met them at a party, a sort of get-acquainted dinner party last August. And even up to that point, no one was really sure if physically people would ever buy the switch. And we were just astonished and thrilled when John and Nick sat beside each other at dinner, and just the shape of their faces and the way they cocked their heads and so forth. And after dinner, they started to mimic each other. They started to talk about, well, I'm going to walk like this, and Nick, you know, you walk kind of bow-legged, and John,
we had
this.
We had a real Hollywood moment that night. It was very strange for us to suddenly see the movie actually come alive well before it went into production. John and Nick, we were introduced to them. We started talking to them for maybe a minute or two, and very quickly we were lost to them. And they started quoting lines from the screenplay and started talking about getting into character, basically. And they, you know, Nick would go, oh, John, whenever you're picking up a glass or whenever you're talking, you, like, do this with your hands. And then Travolta would say, Nick, you walk exactly this way when you're really angry. And then they would do it. They would start doing each other. And they were in profile. And despite the fact that they look quite different head on, we could see that, you know, they're about the same stature and they have many sort of physical attributes that are similar. And we were totally lost to them. We looked at each other also in profile and shook hands behind a palm tree. And it was just great.
My guests are Mike Werb and Michael Colleary. They wrote the screenplay for the new action film Face Off. Back after a break, this is Fresh Air. My guests are Mike Werb and Michael Colleary. They co-wrote the screenplay for the new film Face Off, starring Nicolas Cage and John Travolta. John Woo, the director, has only recently acquired English as a second language because he's only lived in the States a few years. Were there parts of your script that you had to explain to him because they're based on colloquialisms or in-jokes that someone not very familiar with English just couldn't get?
That's funny you ask, because we spoke to his assistant one day.
Oh, this is funny.
Who was going through the script making a list. John had gone through his script and circled all the kind of swear words he didn't understand.
I think at one spot, Terry, there was a reference to a G spot.
Yes, a G spot
that needed to be explained
to John. And John's far too polite and discreet to ask us directly, because he didn't want a chance offending us on some level, which of course he never would. But he took care of that. I mean, he's very conscious of the fact that it's funny because his English is quite good. But he doesn't seem to have, he's getting better now, but when we first met him, he didn't seem to have a lot of confidence in it.
Actually, I think he did. I think he's just more comfortable with us.
Yeah, that's true too.
A question for you about violence in action films. Do you worry about the amount of carnage in this movie, and that, you know, young people seeing it might get immunized to violence because so many people die?
We were very nervous about a lot of the violence and took responsibility for a lot of it too, and had many discussions among just the two of us about it. As Mike said earlier, that opening flashback scene, you know, when we first started writing it, that was going to be kind of more hinted at and suggested originally, and of course ended up being the first scene of the film and very powerfully done. And we were concerned about that. We were very concerned about Eve being raped. I mean, we to us, that was by far the most horrible thing in the film.
It's interesting that most people that see the film don't seem to realize that she is being raped in the movie. And that took us although it's a short scene, that was one of the longest and hardest scenes for us to write.
Because we just, in fact, when we were conceiving the movie and plotting the movie, we were trying to find a way not to have that happen. But we realized that if we were going to be true to the dilemma and true to the situation, at a certain point, that's what happens when you write. At a certain point, the story takes over and the characters take over, and there was really no way to do that without severely damaging the structure of the film.
If the bad guy does not fool her, he can't possibly fool anyone for any length of time. So we had to have that scene, but that was a quandary that, as Michael just said, the story demanded.
So we definitely were concerned, and we were happy in a sense that the film got an R rating, because we felt like that would keep younger kids out of the movie. It is disturbing. There's no doubt about it. Even though the movie's done in a kind of a over the top operatic fashion, it is something that we think about, and John Woo thinks about quite a bit.
You wrote the screenplay together in 1990. That's when the first draft was written. Are you still partners? Are you still working together?
Yes.
Well, as Michael says, now that we're successful, we only talk through our agents and on radio shows.
Yeah. Yes, we are. We do still work together. In fact, we're writing John Woo's next film together, and we've hung in there pretty well as partners, and we've been friends for a long time, even longer than the partnership.
That was one of the rules that we set up when we first decided we were going to write a script together, and Face Off was our first screenplay together. Was that the friendship came first, and if that was ever threatened, we'd stop writing together. Fortunately, it's just brought us much closer.
I guess that's because you have good agents.
That's right. They translate everything very, very well.
Well, congratulations on your success with this film.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for talking with us.
We really are thrilled to be here.
Mike Werb and Michael Colleary wrote the new film, Face Off.